Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from what appears to be a glorious end to summer in Vancouver as the sun is shining, and fortunately the smoke from nearby fires has gone away. I'm going to have the pleasure today of speaking with Betty Onura, who's evaluation research scientist at the Center for Faculty Development at Unity Health Toronto, which is a collaboration with the University of Toronto, and also evaluation science lead in the Office of Education Scholarship, which is within the Department of Family and Community Medicine, also at the University of Toronto. Betty, let me stop there and just confirm that I've named all those affiliations correctly.
A-plus, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Amazing what a little practice will do. as you know, but anybody listening won't, we're together today to talk about a paper that you have coming out in the December issue of Medical Education 2020, titled Useful to Whom? Evaluation Utilization Theory and Boundaries for Program Evaluation Scope. Again, that's a bit of a mouthful that I'm going to have to ask you to unpack for people who are listening. I'll just start by asking you what your role is as an evaluation research scientist and sort of what you do in these organizations in Toronto that led you in this direction.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you for having me. Well, I identify very strongly as an evaluation scientist practitioner. So what this means is that in my evaluation practice, I work to evaluate social and educational interventions. So for the last several years, I have been working, you know, within health professions education and specifically within medical education. And people come to me to help them design evaluation studies for various types of educational interventions in the across the system. So that's what I do in my practice. And so in my research, I am a scholar of evaluation. I want to understand evaluation practice. I want to understand how it is practiced, how evaluation is used, and specifically, what are the kind of social and political factors that affect how we practice evaluation in our system.
And program evaluation is such a central component of our system, but there are relatively few, I would say, people engaging in research of evaluation as opposed to, you know, engaging more in the practice activities that you described. And so I think you note in the paper that there's been a lot of emphasis on teaching people how to engage in best practice and evaluation, but less really exploring the whys or the sort of what fors. What was it that made you worry that was a key gap in the way that medical education was operating in this domain?
I think it's because in my practice, I became aware of, let's say, certain myths that people seem to hold about what evaluation is. And some of these are problematic for evaluation practice. And if they're problematic for evaluation practice, then, you know, they're problematic for how we execute evaluations, and they're problematic for the kind of knowledge that we produce from evaluations. So, you know, having a real awareness and affinity for evaluation theory and having spending a lot of time in those communities, you know, you come to appreciate evaluation as a transdiscipline. So when I say that, I mean, you know, evaluation has emerged as a discipline of its own, in and of its own right, but it's also a methodological toolbox for so many other disciplines. And so there can be a little bit of a disconnect there. So people use evaluation, you know, as a form of inquiry. Evaluation is probably really, really old. But as a science and a discipline, it's really young. And so there can be a lack of awareness sometimes about the theories or that can help us, you know, better inform our practice.
And this is obviously an effort to raise awareness in that regard. You focus the paper on something called evaluation utilization theory. And again, I suspect that's a term that most people listening won't have heard. Can you explain not only what the theory is, but why you thought it was the key one to isolate out as the focus of this this scholarly piece?
If I to explain it simply to begin with, evaluation utilization is simply about, how do we use evaluation, right? How do we apply program evaluation processes? How do we apply program evaluation findings to influence how we think or act on programs and the institutions that host programs, right? And so that's a simple, so simply put, it's, okay, how do we use it? But when you start to unpack that concept of using something, then you have to start asking questions about, well, what is useful depends on, who is using it, right? So in evaluation, initially there's a lot of focus on using evaluations to improve programs. If you look at the literature early on, that's the edge that evaluation had over research, right? Yes, we're going to use evaluation for quality improvement. And so that idea of instrumental use became really a key component or a key indicator for many people about the merit of evaluation. But as the concept was developed more theoretically, we started thinking about, well, what are the other ways in which we use things that might not directly lead to improvement, but that are also of great utility? So, for example, in the paper, I discussed the concept of conceptual use, which is, simply enlightening people about a particular program or its how it's functioning or how it's working, providing them with a new way of thinking, providing them insight about novel findings or novel mechanisms of change. And that in and of itself is of value and use. I also talk about evaluation utilization for capacity building of the social justice. So that's when we actually want to make sure that the processes of evaluation are have some merit to those who are actually participating in it. And I also talk about evaluation as being used symbolically, right? So in a way to secure political capital or persuade others about the value of the programs that one may be running.
Well, and so if I've understood correctly, the theory and the work you're doing in this domain encourages and supports us to be more deliberate about thinking through why we're engaging in this sort of activity to try to improve alignment with between the data collected presumably and the outcome you're trying to achieve. What do any of those different forms lead us to do differently than what you would expect in the most typical program evaluation settings?
Okay, that question is a lot to unpack. So I'll start this a bit, and please jump in at any time if I'm going off track.
Of course, and an example or two is more than sufficient. I appreciate that you can't explain everything in a brief conversation.
Well, I think that a lot of the type of evaluation that we do that perhaps doesn't get published is very geared towards instrumental use, right? So it is very geared toward ensuring that, or at least it has the espoused goal of ensuring that the people who are running the program get some feedback that will enable them to, do things a little bit better the next time, right? And so a lot of the times when we see like simple evaluations of program, post-program, that's what is happening. And there are, pros and cons to that. And I think the biggest message that I hope to get across with the paper is to think about how the type of use that you may be prioritizing in your work limits the scope of your inquiries And what implications does that have? What implications do those limits have? So, for example, you know, the type of questions that we are asking because we want to, quote unquote, improve our programs, those tend to be really limited by desirability and achievability, right? It's like, what did I want to do? And, you know, what do I think is within the realm of possibility for me to change? And that's great in some circumstances, but we have to realize that that's also really limiting. You know, it's if your questions are all based on what is desirable to you, then you perhaps are not asking questions about the undesirable outcomes of your program. You're holding that assumption that everything that happens as a consequence of your intervention is going to be desirable, and that's not always the case. Even failure to realize a desirable outcome does not mean that you did not have undesirable outcomes. And so people have to be open about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, achievability is great, but it can also be stifling. You know, it can lead to a kind of incrementalism where we are focused on improvement, but only on improving things within a certain narrow parameter. And, you know, I think many of us would agree that some of the problems that our society is facing, our health professions systems are facing, some of those issues perhaps are not going to be resolved by incrementalism. They might need more more radical approaches for change. So if you're evaluating something, just think about think about how use is limiting, how your idea of what is useful is limiting how you're framing your questions and your scope.
And is that what you mean by the concept of evaluation misuse, that there are ways in which people are using these techniques inappropriately?
No. So when I talk about evaluation misuse, I'm really talking about the ethics, primarily the ethics, and it's the ethics of clients usually that commission that are commissioning the evaluation. So there are other, I don't want to drown you in concepts here, but so misevaluation is a term that's used in evaluation to describe poor quality evaluation, right? But when we talk about evaluation misuse, it's actually misappropriation of the purpose or the intent of the evaluation. So it is doing things, for example, that can include, you know, circumscribing an evaluation scope. So saying, well, we can't ask that question because that question would lead to negative data about the program. Or, you know, you can't talk to those people because perhaps, you know, those people aren't going to give you favorable data about the program. Or, you know, you can't look at that data source, or you can ask questions at this time. So they are all, when we talk about misuse, we're really starting to get into issues of ethics, right? What are the perhaps problematic boundaries that people can place on evaluation scope that can that put the entire credibility of evaluation findings at in question?
Excellent. And so, again, just thinking about there, you know, being a high demand for practical solutions, and you know, being in an applied field, there are going to be many people who just want to know how do they use this theory effectively. What would your main piece of advice be in terms of enabling somebody who's never come across this theory? How can they get started with respect to understanding it in a way that might you know, best begin to improve the evaluation practices that are meant to improve the program, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so I think it's one of the things is, it's like if you've engaged in any kind of evaluation practice, and you're at that early stage, you know, that where you're engaging with different stakeholders, you're consulting with people, and you're trying to negotiate issues of scope. And inevitably, you will run into some tensions. That is just part and parcel of the process. Inevitably, you will run into perhaps tensions, perhaps conflicts about what the scope of an evaluation should be. Then I think it is very, at that point, you can say, okay, let's think about how we want to use this evaluation. Like, what is really our goal here, right? Because in some contexts, for example, people may have been collecting reliable data year after year that is telling them, you know, the same thing, feedback about the program year after year. So in that context, I might say, well, we need to move towards conceptual use here. Like, we need to move towards trying to find, ask novel questions and get novel insights. And so what are the approaches that are going to best allow us to do that? And there's good guidance there. So, for example, let's maybe use a theory-driven approach. Let's focus in on this one aspect of this program and try and explore that a lot more depth, using a lot more theory, using a lot more rigorous methods. You know, that's what we're going to do. And then there are situations where I have, programs that are up and coming that still require a lot of negotiation among different actors, perhaps including people at the government and policy level. There are still many issues to be understood about what different actors are thinking about the program. In that sense, your priority is really instrumental use, right? Your needs are very much formative. And you need to sometimes perhaps engage in some kind of rapid reconnaissance and gather information as quickly as you can. Then, you know, let's move away from thinking that this is going to be something that is going to, inform that we can do one very rigorously or using rigorously by the standards of peer review, for example. But let's use an instrumental approach. Like, let's focus on key stakeholders. Let's focus on the people who have, you know, the power to inform immediate action on this. And, you know, let's use that information in that way. But if you're in a situation, so now, for example, a lot of people are finding themselves in environments where they have to pay better attention to questions of equity, questions of diversity, and questions of inclusion in programming. And if that's going to be the focus of what you're doing, then, you know, go back and look at utilization. So what do we want to do? Is this what we want to make sure that this evaluation tells us more about equitable processes in our program? Does it encourage participation? Does it move us towards a place where more voices are included? Then you want to focus on process use and start thinking about the kinds of things that you might want to do to facilitate better process use.
I think that's a wonderful place to wrap up, because I think that's one of the real sources of appeal from this work is, you know, not only encouraging good rigorous evaluation, but encouraging people to think beyond just the standard things that they do year in and year out, and that in many cases can actually be assumed because the same pattern has been shown so frequently. So the details, of course, we as always we'll have to leave people to discover in the paper themselves. Those who want to read more about it can find it under the title of Useful to Whom? Evaluation Utilization Theory and Boundaries for Program Evaluation Scope in the December 2020 issue of Medical Education. And its author, who you've been listening to, is Betty Onyura. Betty, excellent work. Congratulations. And I'll look forward to seeing how your continued exploration of evaluation science evolves.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Kevin.